Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Good morning and welcome to the show. This is Andy Webb with Lifestyles Unlimited. And as always, we're working on your financial freedom. So we're going to hit one of my favorite topics one more time this year, and then we're going to put it to bed. But you're going to want to hear this. It's a very timely because you should be in the middle of a certain process. We'll get to that. And you're going to want to hear some tips and tricks for better handling that process. Now, just thinking back to the prior week, I was having lunch this past week with a couple that I've known for a while now, husband-wife team. They are investors like I am. And in fact, they are independent rental owners from a multifamily perspective, meaning they own their own apartment community just by themselves. And they have some smaller holdings as well. And, you know, during the course of the conversation over lunch, among other things, I asked them, hey, are you protesting your property taxes every year? Because this is the time, right? And they said, yes, we do. And then I asked them a follow-up question, do you do that all by yourselves? They said, no. No, they don't, in part because they do have an apartment complex they're working with. So they outsource that part of their process. They have a lot going on, and they very well understand that real estate investing is a team sport. And in fact, I talked about this on last week's show. That was part of the topics of the day. There are simply a lot of hats that you can wear as an investor, and protesting taxes is one of those, but you do not have to wear them all. And to that end, this particular couple, they've brought an expert onto their team to take care of that process for them, the tax protest process. And for today's show, I've brought an expert on. We're going to have an expert on the show with us to have that one final conversation this year about protesting your taxes, to talk about the process, and especially to take a peek at that appraisal review board hearing. That's where you should be about now, getting ready, getting geared up for. So what does that look like, and how can you best prepare your evidence to have success in that appeal? Again, by now you should have filed. We'll get to the process. Without any further ado, I want to bring on my guest. I am joined today by Glenn Goodrich with PropertyTax.io. Glenn, welcome to the show. How are you today?
Hi, Andy. Thanks for having me on. I'm good.
All right. And first and foremost, tell us just a little bit about yourself so we know who we're talking with, your company, where you operate, all the juicy details there, if you would.
Sure. I'm a licensed property tax consultant. I've been doing it for over 10 years, based out of Dallas, but we really help everyone in the DFW area, and then we're also down in Harris County area. And we focus a lot with my website, propertytax.io, on single-family residential, helping people lower that value. So I know a lot of the crowd that we're talking to today is going to be in that boat. We do also have a commercial division that we can help the apartment owners with as well.
Okay, so the couple I was having lunch with, they have the apartments, and then they have, I don't think they have single family, maybe their personal house, but they've got duplex, triplex, quad, which I treat as single family in my mind anyhow due to the financing. But I'm just curious, before we get into we're going to focus on that single family, on protesting those taxes around houses in particular, because that's the broader audience. That the folks that are out there doing it themselves tend to be in that
right.
Camp. The multifamily people tend to outsource that, as it's a little bit more complicated, just very, very upper level. With houses, we're going to be looking at market comps. That's how those are valued generally, right, in the broader market when I sell or otherwise, and when they do the taxes. But with multifamily, what are the appraisal districts using to determine value for a commercial property?
Well, they usually start off when they send notices out based on cost. And then when you're working it through a protest, you're doing it on the income approach.
Okay.
So yeah, you're going to have the income expenses, cap rates, all that good stuff.
So you're going to open your books, and I guess if you a lot of the way that a lot of the Lifestyles Unlimited investors purchase their multifamily, they're buying distressed assets, distressed either due to condition or because the income's not there. It's poorly run, has very little occupancy. So they're just going to open their books and say, here's our cash flow. You know the cap rates here in the area. Therefore, our value's well under what you've got.
Yeah,
on.
And like a little tidbit that might help with you during that transition period is look at the lease up cost. You know, okay, you're assuming that I'm operating it at this high level right now. And as the new owner, somebody's lifestyle, I know how to operate at that high level. But it's going to take me some time to get to that point with new tenants and tenant turnover. And so maybe look at lease-up costs to try to get the value down for this year.
I've always just wondered, again, I'm a single-family operator primarily. I'm a passive in some multifamily deals, so I don't get anywhere close to that level of detail yet. Now, maybe I become like my friends, an independent owner, then you and I might have that conversation. But what I want to ask now, just thinking about the single-family homeowners out there, maybe the listener's not even an investor but owns their personal house. Can you give us just a general idea as to the why? Why should we protest taxes every year? And what's the general process look like? We've got about a minute and a half.
It's a pretty easy process, so there's really no reason not to do it. The main reason is when they send out notices, they're just kind of using high-level aggregate information, computer crunching to value your property. And so there's a big opportunity for them to overvalue you during that high-level process. And so when you file a protest, by law, they actually have to shift their method of valuation to a targeted specific valuation for your specific property. And so it's a free way to get the government to take a closer look and verify if they've got your value right or if they can lower the value. There's no risk in doing it, so there's no risk in them saying, well, actually, we've got your value too low, so we're going to raise the value. It doesn't cost anything to file a protest. So there's only upsides to doing it. There's no downsides.
And that's a great point.
And it's part of your operating expenses, you know, whether it's part of your mortgage or if you're an investor, it's part of your, you know, monthly budget. It's just a way to reduce your cost of ownership.
Absolutely. And I like the point you just made. I think it's a misconception in the market, and I've harped on this in prior shows earlier this year. A lot of people operate under the assumption that if I go in there, and maybe I like where the value is, I want to get it even lower if I can, and I'm afraid they're going to take it up. They cannot do that. You have nothing to lose, but maybe a little bit of time if you're doing it yourself. We'll talk after the break about the appraisal review board. How did you get to the point where you're even going before the appraisal review board? Let's understand that, Glenn. And later in the show, we'll talk about effective tactics in this market. So stay tuned.
Del Wamsley talks about positive cash flow tax-free.
I bought one little rent house. So a month later, I bought three more. Now I started receiving even more positive cash flow. $880 a month positive cash flow after just 2 months. This cash flow was tax-free because of the way I did it. Because if you know how to do it the right way, you won't pay taxes on that.
Give yourself a raise tax-free. Find out how at Lifestyles Unlimited's live online pre-workshop. Register today at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com. Here's Lifestyles Unlimited founder and CEO, self-made multimillionaire, and national radio host, Del Wamsley, on getting the information you need to get through this.
So you ask yourself, isn't this the wrong time to get out of the stock market? Very well could be. But maybe it might go down. And then you ask yourself, man, if I would have had some of that money, I could have used it. People are going to be afraid. And the people who are in the real estate that are losing money are going to be afraid. And they're going to want to get out. And when they do, we're going to be able to go in and buy at very advantageous prices that are going to change our family's future, quite honestly. So you need information on how to do that. You need the knowledge of how to get through this. You need to get into Lifestyles right now.
Lifestyles Unlimited has been helping people succeed since 1990. Join us for our free online real estate workshop and learn the 7 principles we teach to run our businesses and provide for our families. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Andy Webb. You're listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, and we're joined today for one last hoorah as we go through the property tax protest. We're joined today by Glenn Goodrich with PropertyTax.io. And they've been a vendor with Lifestyles a little over 2 years, based here out of the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And Glenn, you mentioned ahead of the break, you guys service the broader DFW area. You're also now in Harris. And I know based on our chat over the break, you're looking to expand a little bit more broadly. We talked a little bit ahead of the break about why people should protest. It doesn't cost anything. Maybe a little bit of time if you do it yourself. If you don't have time to do it yourself, hire a company like my friends did that I met with for lunch. That's what Glenn, there are lots of folks out there that do that. In fact, Glenn, I don't think I've gotten any letters from you, but boy, I checked my P.O. box yesterday. I checked it earlier in the week. That's where I get all my mail for my rental properties. And I just have stacks of letters from sundry property tax protest companies out there. There are quite a few. And some poor company seems to be sending me one per property. They need to maybe scrub that list a little better, I guess. But anyhow, let's talk a little bit now about we talked about why. Why? Well, because it's easy and you have nothing but upside. You can save some money. Now, we're a little bit further into the season now, which is why I wanted to bring you on for this particular talk around the appraisal review board. But before we get to the appraisal review board, can you talk a little bit about the steps we might have taken to get to that point? And I think there are a few counties where we are still maybe just starting the process. So what's that process look like more broadly?
So the appraisal district sends you a notice of appraised value, which is they're saying this is what we think your property will sell for on January 1st of 2021. And you have 30 days to file a protest on that value. And when you file a protest, you have two ways to file the protest. One is that I think the value is incorrect, which translates into I think you have the market value too high. And the other method of filing a protest is unfair, which means that I think that you have me valued unfairly to other similar properties in my area. And so you can file on both methods. We do recommend that you file the protest on both methods. A lot of people make the mistake of filing that they think I'm just unfair. I'm just valued unfairly. But what you do in that is you introduce comps in your neighborhood where they say, well, you didn't file a protest based on market value. You file the protest based on equal and uniform, and so the evidence you've introduced isn't relevant to the method of protest. So it's always important to file the protest on both reasons. So once you file the protest, you're in the door, and you start this informal process with the appraisal district. And we do recommend that when you file the protest that you submit evidence along with that, so they see where you're coming from on your opinion of value. So usually when you file a protest, especially if you're using the online portal that the appraisal districts offer, you have to enter in an opinion of value, and that's just what you think the value should be, and that should be ideally backed up by evidence that you submit. And that's what we do on our website, PropertyTax.io, is we help you save time and tell you what value to enter in during that process, and we provide you the evidence packet to do that. So once you have filed the protest, and it's still relevant because even if, you still have 30 days, so every appraisal district has a batch of properties that they notice late. So even if you're in Dallas County and you just received your notice a couple of weeks ago, you still have 30 days from when they sent you that notice to do that. I know that Denton County sent out notices late this year, and actually they had to reissue notices again because they made a mistake. And so the deadline, I think, for Denton is normally June 14th, but some people have until later in June to file because they got re-noticed. So once you have the protest filed and you've gone through you're in this informal part where the appraisal district can make you an offer to reduce the value, and you can either accept that or not. And if you don't accept that, that's when you go into this appraisal review board process that we're, I think, going to talk about in a little bit.
Okay, so I want to circle back on a couple of items. And as far as that informal process, so we've got 30 days from the date of notification to have filed that initial request to do the protest at all. And based on your recommendation, and I know, and I don't have my statements in front of me today, but normally I would look at those in the very first two boxes I can check on Dallas County or Tarrant or Denton, whatever. It's those very two points you made: market value, which is basically what it would sell for, and then unfair value relative to how the appraisal district has other houses around me listed on their website, how they have valued them. In other words, it's not a market value,
right,
but it's that tax valuation.
Exactly.
There are other things
exactly
on there, you know, maybe an exemption is missing or whatever that you can also
right.
check. But it's those first two that you commonly are protesting on and that you want to check. If I've checked unfair value, I cannot now then go into the ARB and try to talk about market. They're just going to shoot me down.
Well, if you only checked unfair. If you only checked unfair. Now, if you check both, you can talk about both.
Okay.
And that's why we recommend you check both, because you just want to have all your options available to you, and it doesn't hurt you to check both reasons.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting. We do this every year, and I'm one of those DIY guys. I have not yet outsourced this part, but I, for whatever reason, Glenn, I'm a glutton for punishment. I like to go in there and argue with these guys. Maybe get it done beforehand if I can, but for Tarrant County, for example, I actually have two windows of time that were allocated to me for the appraisal review board hearing, one for that market value, and then a couple minutes later, I think it is, one for the unfair
right, yep,
value. So they're handling that very discreetly. I think Dallas, Denton do that a little bit differently. Now for Denton County, so I've filed my protest for my counties, except for Denton, because they were very late to the game, and I was very surprised because on my rental houses, they didn't take them up very much. So is the other shoe about to drop for me when I go to my P.O. box on Monday? Am I going to see a 20, a 30, a 40, a 50% increase all of a sudden?
You might. I know that they had a software changeover, and they're kind of behind the eight ball on this year's. They're kind of getting their feet under them with a new software vendor, and so they made a mistake. They're having to reissue a bunch of notices, and I'm not sure how widespread that is, but it's big enough that we've heard from enough people. So if there's nothing nefarious, like a lot of people initially thought, oh, I filed a protest, because some people just get it in the notice and they just automatically file a protest, and then they received another notice from the appraisal district at a higher value, and they were like, is this a result because of me filing a protest? The answer is no, that's not what happened. It's just a simple software issue that they had, and they re-noticed a big group of people, irregardless if they filed a protest or not. So
okay. They're not doing government bait and switch or anything like that.
No.
All right. Well, I will closely monitor my P.O. box now, because we do have properties in Denton County. And again, I was surprised. The market's up, and they didn't really handle me too roughly this year. So I hope I'm not let down when I go check that next week. Okay, that's very good information to know. So we talked about the broader process. So for a lot of people, you should have filed already. And you should already be in the middle of this informal window. And Glenn talked a little bit about how you may have that informal conversation. This is commonly, Glenn, where I just go down, get in my car, drive down unannounced to the appraisal district, take a number, wait my turn, and go talk to somebody behind the curtain briefly before I get to the appraisal review board. Let's talk briefly about that when we come back. And then let's shift gears and talk about who is the appraisal review board, ARB. It sounds scary. Should I be scared? And how do I approach them? So stay tuned.
Del Wamsley explains how he found that speck of light that got him into the lifestyle.
I had a guy who used to come into the health club every day and work out for 4 hours a day, sit in the jacuzzi, swim, play racquetball, was happy, looked great, tan all the time. And one day I just asked him, what do you do for a living? And he said, Del, I own real estate.
Well, do you own real estate? Register for our live online free workshop and find out how you can get all the things you want out of life with passive income. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. Brought to you by Lifestyles Unlimited.
We're back with the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. We're here to answer your questions and help you become financially free.
Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Andy Webb, and I've got Glenn Goodrich with me from PropertyTax.io. We are talking about protesting those property taxes. We've talked about this off and on throughout the season so far, because we are firmly in property tax protest season, and I want you to get out there, and I want you to get it done. I want you to save yourself some cash with our local governments. And if you've got any questions today, you can give us a call here in the studio. The number is 855-497-4335. Again, 855-497-4335. Or if you're feeling shy, send me an email. askandy@luinc.com. Now, Glenn and I were connecting over the break, and I was just exchanging some experiences I've had, and he's shed some light on some of the process for me as well. And I mentioned to him, Glenn, I mentioned to you that it's interesting, because in this year,
it's about half of my portfolio was not touched at all. They haven't taken those properties up. They're flat against last year, and some of them even now 3 years running. Why is that? The market's up. What is going on there?
I think it's just a matter of resources with some of these bigger appraisal districts that they, especially in hot market, where they get protest volume that goes way up. You know, Dallas, they all set record protests every year, and they have limited staff to deploy, you know, resources of gathering market information. And so they kind of target different areas. Like 1 year it was South Dallas that they targeted. Last year, East Dallas got targeted. You know, I'm just speaking in Dallas County, but you can apply this really to a lot of major appraisal districts where they'll shift focus geographically. And this year it seems like, you know, Mesquite and Garland and all that is being targeted. So that also speaks, you know, did you file a protest on your properties last year, Andy?
Absolutely, every year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you got a reduction on them, or?
Most of them, yes.
Yeah, and so that's another benefit of filing a protest is you never know what they're going to do next year, and they could roll the values. And so filing a had you not filed a protest and gotten a reduction last year, you would have 2 years of that high value, whereas now you've got 2 years of that lower value that you're going to benefit from. So it could have potentially multi-year benefits to filing a protest 1 year.
Absolutely. And as I mentioned, not just 2 years, but I've got a couple in Dallas County that were now 3 years out. So I'm happy to see that. Now I protest those as well. You know, I want to see how far I can get them to go. You know, some stuff has changed.
Just because the value did not increase, there could be evidence that's out there today to get the value reduced even further. So it's not an excuse to sit it out, really. I say stay diligent. There's no risk of doing it. So go after it every year.
Absolutely. Now, when we're going after it, we're going to eventually, potentially, wind up in front of the appraisal review board. Now, I was telling you over the break, last year I did everything over the phone or by way of email. I had those ARB hearings scheduled, but I never actually had to get that far because I handled everything successfully in the informal part of the protest. So what is that informal protest that I'm talking about? What does that involve? And I think I tipped my hand a little bit in the earlier segment where I tend to march on down, get in my car, drive down to the appraisal district and take a number and go talk just kind of off the books with one of the appraisers.
So like pre-COVID, that was how you would do it, is you would do it more in person. Ever since COVID hit, and this is more true for the larger appraisal districts. I know some of the smaller appraisal districts are still doing in-person stuff, but some of the larger ones have eliminated the in-person informal process. There is still an informal process, like you were saying, which is you can call on the phone or do it through email or through the online portal. And so what that process is you're discussing the information of where the appraisal district is coming from on their offer to you. So if they're making you an offer or if they're not making you an offer, what comps are they using to support their value, that kind of thing. And it's an opportunity for you to discuss your information. And it's more of just a conversation can we work this out, you know, without having to go to the official appraisal review board hearing. And the appraisal districts are interested in that, working it out informally with you if they can, because a big concern that they have is the schedule. You know, the appraisal districts are responsible for scheduling the ARB, the appraisal review boards, and they have to pay those people out of their budget. And so the more that they can work out informally, the better for them, because they don't have to pay ARB members to show up for more hearings. So it's worth it for them to work it out with you informally if they can. So we always ask people to engage in that informal process.
Aha. That is a very key point of interest to me. I didn't realize that was on their budget. And that, to the broader audience, the listener now, that is, again, reason to file that protest. Whether you actually get down there to deal with it or not, at least file it. Let's inundate them. They're going to get you scheduled for that ARB hearing. Now, if you don't show up, it's not going to hurt you. If we do that in mass, right, that's going to give them incentive to maybe revisit the process, or at least then when I personally go down there to do my informal thing or over the phone, hey, they're going to be more willing to negotiate, is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like they just roll over. You have to have evidence on your end, or they have to see reason on their end to lower the value. So I don't want to give people a false sense of it's just an automatic that you file a protest, you get a reduction. But there is incentives on both sides to work it out informally, for sure.
Absolutely. And we're going to talk about evidence here in just a moment. Let's get to the last part of the process. So we've filed either online or sent in the packet to by way of mail, maybe dropped it off at the Dropbox. We've got that ARB, that Appraisal Review Board hearing, scheduled. We know when that's coming, and it has to be scheduled. I think they have to give you at least 2 weeks from the date of your filing before you have that ARB. In the meantime, we're going to do that informal hearing. That's our first shot at getting that reduction is when we do that online filing, let's say. Second shot is when I go and do that informal hearing. If I'm not happy with what I got, the offers I got in return in either of those first two stages, well, now I'm going to go to the final. And it's not even the final, but for most people, the final stage, which is that appraisal review board hearing. So let's talk, Glenn, let's talk about ARB. When I hear board, it sounds very formal to me. Maybe makes me a little bit nervous. Who is the ARB? What is it? And should I be nervous?
A lot of people get really nervous during the whole protest process, whether it's dealing with the appraisal district or especially at the ARB. They kind of think of the ARB like, and a lot of people actually use the wrong terminology. They say I have to go down to court. It's not court at all. It's much more informal than that. An ARB is just it's a volunteer panel. I mean, they get paid, but they have to be taxpaying citizens of the county that you're in, and they're just normal people. They have to pass a test issued by the comptroller. It's usually a lot of retired people that are doing it for supplemental income. So it's nothing to be intimidated about. They're just normal taxpayers. They want to help you if they can. The things that they really value are you coming to the table with something that's going to help me make a decision quickly? Are you prepared? And, they're not out to get you or hold value. They don't work for the appraisal district. They're actually separate from the appraisal district, even though the appraisal district has to pay them. So yeah, you can make a little connection there if you want about, right and left hand being buddies, but by law they are separate. I know in Tarrant the ARB is extremely independent, in Denton the ARB is extremely independent from the appraisal review board. Different, and I think that is true, and also in Collin County. But in some other counties, you'll see it's not so separate, but it's still technically a separate body. And you shouldn't be nervous about engaging in the process. There's nothing that bad that can happen. They're not going to fault you if you make a mistake. They're just human beings.
Let me second that, because it's very formal at the start. If I think back to my last time I went down in person to the Dallas County Appraisal Review Board, it's me in the room. It's a panel of three, right? The Appraisal Review Board are three volunteers, like you said, and then one of the local county appraisers is present as well, and it's very formal. I had to read a statement or state who I am and my address, and everybody had a formal statement, and after that it just evolved evolved, I guess, into just conversation. And there were times, the first time I did it years ago, I was nervous. The ARB gentleman, I remember, he prompted me. He helped me along, in fact. So I think a lot of them understand that you're nervous if you are doing this for the first time, and they are impartial, they should be, and they want to help you out. They want to hear your argument. You know, if you're shaking a little bit when you hand them your papers, they're going to notice that, and they'll just give you a sly grin and work through the process with you. So stay tuned. We have one more segment coming up, and I want to talk about that evidence, Glenn, that we want to prepare when we go before the ARB.
Lifestyles Unlimited invites you to the world's largest Wealth and Passive Income Expo, September 3rd and 4th, Irving, Texas. You'll connect with successful investors and industry experts. Learn being real estate retired at any age. Attend breakout sessions with industry experts. Learn from real people successfully investing in real estate right now. Leave with your passive income plan in hand. The entire Lifestyles Unlimited team of realtors, mentors, educators, and operational consultants want to meet you Friday and Saturday, September 3rd and 4th in the Metroplex, Irving Convention Center, Las Colinas. Join thousands of top investors and multimillionaire real estate investor Dell Wamsley. Dell is mentor to top award-winning investors across the country. Go to WealthAndPassiveIncomeExpo.com. Enter promo code FREEDOM and receive $97 off any pass or package. That's WealthAndPassiveIncomeExpo.com. Promo code FREEDOM. WealthAndPassiveIncomeExpo.com.
Whoa,
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Andy Webb. I am joined today by Glenn Goodrich with PropertyTax.io. They've been vendors with Lifestyles Unlimited for a little over 2 years now. When I say vendors, we've got, as part of our program, Financial Freedom Program and on up, we've got a what we call a vendor hub. And when I need to build out my team, if I've got an area that maybe I've been doing stuff myself, like I do, like my property tax protest, maybe I want to automate or outsource a piece of that. That's where I go. I go to that vendor hub to see who's on there. You know, I just look up property tax protest companies. I would come across Glenn, your company, or maybe others out there as well. Maybe I need a tree guy. Maybe I need a floor guy. Maybe I need an HVAC tune-up or something like that. That's where I go. I go to that vendor hub as a starting point. And I want to put out there as well, I want to mention, because it's fewer than 3 months out, our Wealth and Passive Income Expo 2021. And I tied this into the vendors because we have something at this event called the Expert Hall. Now, the Wealth and Passive Income Expo, that's going to be here in my neck of the woods. If you're new to the show, just catching it for the first time, I sit in Dallas-Fort Worth, as does Glenn. And the Wealth and Passive Income Expo is going to be right here at the Irving Convention Center at Las Colinas. So right in the middle of the Metroplex. That's going to be Friday and Saturday, September 3rd and 4th of this year. If you want to learn more, go to wealthandpassiveincomeexpo.com. There are multiple packages. If you're more focused on single family, you can read about that there. If you're more focused on multifamily, you can read about that there. If you don't even know what you want to do, this is the place to be to better understand the various paths that you can take with real estate investing. So again, that's wealthandpassiveincomeexpo.com. Use the promo code Andy, A-N-D-Y, if you decide to register. That gives you $97 off any of those passes or packages, and it essentially makes the general admission free. So give that a go, wealthandpassiveincomeexpo.com. And Glenn, at that event, we have what's called the Expert Hall. And I bring this up for the listener because if you are looking to build out your team, this is the place to go. Expert Hall is going to have vendor tables. The radio guys will be there as well. It's where I went last year and started talking to lenders and CPAs and so on. So it's a good place to meet and greet, network, meet other investors, but also find those members of your team if you are looking to go in a different direction, outsource, become a little more passive, as it were. Now, Glenn, when it comes to becoming a little more passive, we do need to gather evidence. We need to present evidence when we go before the appraisal review board. Can you talk a little bit about where do I go to get evidence? What does that look like? How should I present that? What should I think about as a DIY guy for now that's going in front of the ARB to make my presentation to get that value lowered?
Request the appraisal district's evidence officially. Send a letter to them certified so that it's time-stamped. And you have what's called a 14-day evidence request, which is I'm telling, hey, appraisal district, you have to send me the ARB packet that you're going to present in my hearing, and I have to have it at least 14 days prior to my hearing. And what that does is that locks them into the evidence. They can't alter that evidence once they send it to you. So then now you've got all their cards on the table, and you know what there's going to be no unknowns about what information is going to be discussed on their end at the hearing. And so you can start preparing a defense. If they've used a comp, you know, if they're using a sale in your area that sold for really high, you've got time to go online, maybe look at the Zillow photos of it and talk about how updated it is, things like that. Now, that's the defense part of it, which you can kind of make work for you as an offensive approach. On the other end of it, there's going to be comps that they're not going to put on their evidence that could be relevant to discuss. And, you know, maybe they're only choosing high sales and there's some middle and lower sales that are just as relevant and that represent that range of value. And so you can get a list of sales. I know on my website, propertytax.io, that's what we do is we have reverse engineered each appraisal district's system, and we tell you which comps would be credible to use in their system that favor you for a reduction. And so that's really what we save a lot of time on that. Now, if you want to stick to the 100% do-it-yourself solution, you could maybe contact a realtor that you know and get a list of sales. However, I would strongly urge people to stay away from just doing a simple price per square foot comparison because appraisal districts never do any valuations on a price per square foot. And when somebody brings in a price per square foot comparison, they're first to talk about how they're missing adjustments that should be made on the property. So size differences, condition differences, all these data points that they track. And that's really why we created my website to begin with, which was to really give you an honest look at how the appraisal district is going to view that information in the system.
Does propertytax.io, does it actually see the comps that the district used, or you're not probably not privy to that information, are you?
We aren't privy to that information, but if you do request that information from them, you can go into our website and enter in those comps, and we'll tell you how it plays out, and as well as give you the comps that they aren't telling you that you should be using. So we really give you the big picture. We make you aware of what might hurt you, what can help you. And then if there's comps that they're using that aren't already populated in our system, you can enter it in, and then we'll add it to your list of comps to tell you how that you know, where you can start beating it up, that kind of thing.
And let me add here, that's commonly an approach I'll use for the informal part of the discussion, which, you know, we'll sit down with the appraiser. Well, in the past, we would sit down with the appraiser. Now it's over the phone, I guess, depends. And they'll say, okay, they'll look at those comps that you brought and say, you know, that is a good one. Let me plug that one in instead of this other one over here. Mm-hmm. So they'll mm-hmm. work with you commonly. Yeah. I mean,
yes,
it's definitely a good approach.
Right. Now, if comps don't help you, like we were talking in the break, how the market's just on fire right now, then there's a method I call get outside the database. And that's use photos. You know, when you're staying inside the database, it's more like comp selection. I use these comps, they use these comps. They do a few clicks in their database, add that comp to their system, and then it auto-generates a number. If that process isn't helpful for you this year because the evidence just isn't there, then maybe get outside the database. Use photos. Take photos of maybe you haven't updated that kitchen for an investment property you just bought, and you've got the original kitchen in there still. Take photos of that and dispute the condition rating of that property. Now, each appraisal district is going to call that something different. In Dallas, they call it desirability rating. In Tarrant County, they call it effective year build. In some places, it's called percent good. But it's all the same thing, which is just what's the condition of the property. And that speaks to the updating that's been done. Maybe you've got a foundation repair that you need to do. So if any repair issues existed on January 1st, be sure and bring those up. Get estimates, things like that.
And it's interesting. I lever that particular part of the property tax roll, I suppose, very, very often and very much typically to success, which is that in Dallas County, like you said, what they call desirability. I've got the list of, you know, they go from excellent to very good to average to fair, all the way bottom is undesirable. I've never gotten them down that low, but just going from, say, good to average and average to fair can be a pretty massive shift. And sometimes it's, like you said, presenting those pictures and building a story. I try to go in with a story, and commonly my story is this is a rental property, and you can see based on these pictures that it's not being well taken care of by the occupants is my implication, what I'm implying, right?
photos tell them something that they don't know about the property. If you're just doing comp selections, they know the square footage of the property. They know what it's sold for. They know there's a lot of information that they know about property. What they don't know is what that actual interior looks like or that foundation estimate that you got that they don't know about. So tell them something that they don't know about the property.
And tell them in words, tell them in pictures.
Right.
That's a very good point. I can remember years ago sitting in my front office in my house and a van drove by, a little white panel van. I didn't have my 4-year-old at the time, but if I did, I would have ran out and grabbed him and said, get inside fast. There was a little slit cut in the side of the van. They were taking pictures of my house from the outside. It turned out it was the appraisal district. So they know what it looks like on the outside, but they don't have any idea what's going on the inside, do they?
No, well, they get permits and information like that, and they will actually drive neighborhoods and look for work being done, but that's information that goes in the direction of how can we increase the value of a property. You know, somebody's doing a permit, that's work that's being done to enhance the property. We drive by and we see workers in front of the house. We make notes of that. That gives us information to increase the value of the property. What they don't know is what's information that decreases the value of the property. You know, you don't file a permit on a bad kitchen, you know, you file a permit on a kitchen that needs updating. So those are all sensors that they have that send up flags that say, oh, okay, we can increase the value. But like you said, all they know is the front of the property. They don't know what you haven't done to the property or what needs to be done.
shed some light on that for them. So we've just got about 45 seconds left. So Glenn, first of all, thank you very much for joining me today and pointing us in a little bit different direction as far as protesting this year goes. Market will be difficult using those market comps. So focus on condition, get some pictures, and get into the process. If you're in Denton County and you haven't gotten your notice yet, you still have time to file. Maybe you've gotten it. You've still got that 30-day window going on. If people want to learn more, Glenn, where do they go to check you out?
My website's the best place. It's www.propertytax.io, like input, output, IO. And we have an online chat there, and so you'll be able to chat with licensed property tax consultants live on the website. That's the most accessible way, easiest way to get a hold of an expert.
Awesome. Propertytax.io. Speaking of experts, come out to the Expert Hall at the Wealth and Passive Income Expo. Go check out wealthandpassiveincomeexpo.com. Use my name for a $97 discount, ANDY, all caps. Hey, thank you for listening today. And Glenn, thank you so much for joining me today. Our last hurrah when it comes to protesting those property taxes. Get out there and get it done. Thanks again. And remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab, view the radio show schedule, and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.